a revelation of Jesus Christ to our heart, and we conclude a series on the renewing of the mind. The purpose of the renewing of the mind is that we may see Jesus in a clearer manner, without the veil of our mind being blocked by unrenewedness or wrong thoughts, etc. That we will have every thought subject to Jesus Christ. This morning I want to talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ. The church exists for one purpose only, and that is to reveal Jesus Christ. The church has only one purpose, to reveal Jesus Christ. That means that every activity of the church, whether it be a prayer meeting, whether it be a business meeting, whether it be a council meeting, whatever meeting, we must not lose the objective to reveal our Lord Jesus. And the purpose of our every service, the purpose of our every meeting, whether in homes, etc., no matter how much you do for Jesus, no matter how many programs you get involved with, the most vital and important factor must be emphasized that everything we do is for the sole purpose of revealing Jesus Christ, as He is, in all His fullness, as much as we know how. And I believe that the heart of God is grieved when you look upon this planet. So many call themselves by the name Christian. You need to really look at what the word Christian means. It's the Christ plus I-A-N, Christian, one whose life revolves around Jesus Christ. The people call themselves by the name Christian, but they don't revolve their life around Jesus. I like to put it this way, the word Christian, where it starts Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T, with the other small letters, I-A-N. The word I-A-N, I like to put it this way, as representing I am nothing. So when you are nothing and you come to Jesus, and Jesus becomes everything. And that's what a Christian is supposed to be. We become so transparent. We become a channel or a vessel for Christ to be seen in our lives. That's the purpose for every church organization, for every church on this planet Earth to exist, to look at Jesus, to worship Jesus, to show Jesus. And that's the goal that Jesus wants every Christian to have. And sometimes when we have been long in the Lord, we need to re-examine our lives. Because we can lose track, we can be so involved in certain activities that we forget that it's for Jesus and unto Jesus and for Him to work through us. But many times it can become like the church in the book of Revelation. The Laodicean church, which is neither cold nor hot, and Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of the church. He's knocking. Can you imagine Jesus knocking at the door of the church when He's supposed to be the head? That is why in these days God is calling the people back to Jesus. The purpose of every activity, the purpose of all our lives must be for Jesus, to Jesus, unto Jesus, because He is our everything. This morning we are going to consider the revelation of Jesus Christ. Last week we touched upon how Jesus Christ revealed Himself unto us in degree, gradually. And as we see Him, we see Him as the Bible tells us, not as man's tradition tells us, not as this man says, not as that man says, but as long as the Word of God shows Him to be as He is, we must know that Jesus as the Word of God shows Him in His fullness. In one revelation of Jesus, just one revelation of Jesus is enough to change your whole life. He doesn't have to show the fullness of His glory at one time. He just had to open our spiritual eyes to let us see a little bit of His glory. And then may last you 10 years, 20 years before you need a fresh revelation of Jesus. So we go from revelation to revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelations is called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. It is not called the Revelation of John the Apostle. You look at the title very carefully, it's called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it symbolizes Jesus Christ showing Himself to this generation and all generations that the book of prophecy talks about to the end of the ages. So when Jesus revealed Himself to John, and who was John? John was the apostle whom the Gospel of John says, the one whom Jesus loved. The one who knew the heart of Jesus. The one whom Jesus found leaning on the bosom of Jesus. John was one of those who walked among the inner circle. Peter, James, and John were close to Jesus. Jesus knew them intimately. He had a love relationship with Jesus. He loved Jesus so much that when Jesus was there, he had such confidence in Jesus loving him that he could just rest on Jesus. The same John had a deeper revelation of Jesus. In Revelation chapter 1, he saw the same Jesus. It was not the different Jesus, but it was the same Jesus crowned with glory. The same person whom he had leaned on at the Lord's Supper. The same Jesus he had walked and talked with, now crowned with glory. And when he saw the Jesus in his majesty, his hair full of the glory of God, so that he looked listening wise. And his eyes like the sun shining, and his face like the sun bright, and a rainbow about him. And he saw his whole garment filled with the glory of God. Bible says the same John the Apostle fell down like a dead man. We will never reach the point where we say we have all of Jesus. And we have known everything we need to know about Jesus. No. There's so much more to know. So much more to trust in. And in Matthew 16, Jesus was with his disciples, and as he was walking along the road to Jerusalem, he was talking with them. For about 3 years, he had fellowship with them. He had ate with them. He had healed the sick in their presence. He had cast out demons in their presence. They had been his first friends and companions all these 3 years. And after these 3 years, Jesus longed for something. Jesus longed for something. He longed that they may know him for who he is. And therefore, as they walked along the road in Matthew 16, Jesus Christ said to them in verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, what do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. What do people say about me first? He wanted to know. And so the answer started coming. They say, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. The same Jesus Christ, but people see him differently. We have to watch our perception of Jesus. Sometimes it's like wearing colored glasses. Where if our glasses are colored yellow, we look at everybody and we say, what's wrong with you? You look like you've got a yellow fever. skin is all yellow. But we didn't realize that it's our galactic. They are making us see everybody yellow. Try green and you think they're Martian. Sometimes what we see is colored by our tradition, by our preconceived ideas about him. They are not in line with the world. And the same Jesus can walk right into our midst. And people might not see him to be who he is. It's strange that men could do that to the Son of God. But they did. Some could not see God in him. Some just put him on the same level as John the Baptist and Elijah, one of the prophets. You and I are, how could they? But they did. Because some of the people who perceived Jesus had the glasses on them that blocked them from seeing Jesus as he is. But what is most important is how those who claim to love him, those who claim to know him, those who claim to be the family of Jesus, most important is how they see him. Jesus is most concerned about them. So he turned around to his disciples after they answered and said, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? I want to know what you say that I am. Doesn't matter what the world sees me to be, but what do you see me to be? Who am I to you after these 3 years? Who am I to you after all this time spent with you? Who am I to you? Do you know me by now? God is saying. You know, Jesus Christ sometimes reaches out in our own personal life. The question is not only asked to his disciples in those days, but the question is asked to the disciples of Jesus today. Who is Jesus to you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Oh, there have been some Christians who have been so long walking for 10 years and they never knew Jesus was their healer. They never knew Jesus was their healer. And the world hears a lot of stories about Jesus, but the world does not know that Jesus is their Savior. And the heart of God cries out and says, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? That's most important. For a moment there was silence among the disciples. The question still rang in their mind. Who do you say that I am? This is the whole purpose of his coming to the disciples. It's just that for 3 years he's building them up right to the climax, to the conclusion. And he wants the answer. For those 3 years has been building and showing himself to them. And now, the most critical moment, the conclusion. Then one of his disciples spoke out and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the Living God. Oh, I can imagine the joy that flooded him. The joy that filled him. Oh, at least there were those who recognized him for who he is. And he was so filled, I could sense the joy that flooded him. The satisfaction after showing himself so long. That is the Anna. He was the Christ, the Son of the Living God. It's just that all the time, a loved one, keep on showing love. And the recipient of the love did not know it. Did not know it. You all remember when you first fall in love? Those of you who have not fallen in love, don't worry about that. You should be in love with Jesus. So every one of you should be in love now. At least you should be in love with Jesus. And you know that one of the most difficult things to say that first time was, I love you. And so, human beings are very peculiar ways to tell I love you. The whole time when I was in love with my wife Amy, I didn't know how to tell her. I mean, you don't walk right up to the lady and say, hey, I love you. She might faint. And so, I began to borrow some library books. There was a librarian there. And took some of my library books and said, hey, read this. And then we all have our letter boxes. So sometimes I brought some books there in the letter box. I remember what number was the letter box. And I brought it in. Another sometime, then I began to give some cards and say hello. And say hi. And then the person began to know it and realize it. She began to realize it. And so finally, after months of agony, I had the boldness to say, I love you. And you would have expected it, she would say, ah, I knew you all along. But she didn't. She said, oh, and he had a long intercom talk where she persuaded me not to love her. But I was persistent. But she knew what was coming. And when she talked over it, she knew this was coming. This was coming up. And it was building to the point where she could hear and say, I love her. And then I keep building, and I was just waiting for her to respond. You know how a man can get so agonized when you say, I love you, and no reply? Especially when it was the first time. And you're waiting, oh my, when is the reply going to come? And you're wondering what's going on in her mind, how you wish you had some television to see into the mind. And at first, her only response was she bought me a little plastic frame. I looked at her and I said, oh Lord, thank you. I think she loved me. And, but she didn't say it yet. I can assume and make up and prepare what's going to happen. But it took some time, and later on, the first letter came. Then I examined it very carefully to make sure it was dearest and not dear. And so when it was dearest, I knew what was coming up. And so finally, when she said, I love you all. The same way when Jesus Christ was walking with his disciples and he was talking with his disciples, and fellowshipping with them, his whole purpose that they would know him for who he is. If on that day when he asked them, they had said something else, how disappointed he would have been. But thanks be unto God that there was a disciple there that said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and all the heart of Jesus. Wow, I could almost see him smile. The conclusion that he wanted the disciples to do.
and he turned around and said, "See him." Peter had a revelation of Jesus Christ for who he is. The revelation of Jesus Christ to your life will change your heart and life. Paul said that this gospel that I received was not by flesh and blood, was not given to me by man, but in Galatians 1:12 he says that it was given unto me by the revelation of Jesus Christ to my heart. I know him, but he showed himself to me. There's nothing in the world that can replace the personal experience of God. And every single child that is brought up by Christian parents, they cannot go by your experience. They must go by their own experience in God. And if the child that is brought up by the Christian parents does not know Jesus, does not know God and have experienced God personally, then when you leave the faith, the child will not follow Jesus. The child only is left with a religion and a tradition and a custom to follow. But the most important thing in our lives is to bring people to the point where they themselves can experience the Lord. And when we experience the Lord ourselves, come what may, we will stand firm on the rock. Against storms or any situation, because we were crying from the depth of our heart, "I know him, for he has revealed himself to me." You cannot go by somebody else's revelation. You cannot go by the revelation of your own father or parent. They may help you and bring you to the position of your personal experience, but you cannot go by their experience. You cannot go by the experience of your own husband and wife. Each one has a walk with God. They may help you along the way, but you must experience God personally. You cannot go by the revelation that your friends may have, your close one may have, because if you do not have a personal revelation of Jesus to your heart and life, you have not known God. God. You have not known God. It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And one revelation can change you, change your whole life. When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus the next night, he went away a different man. If you meet him, that is why Jesus Christ did not just leave behind a set of rules. That is why Jesus Christ did not write any books. That is why Jesus Christ did not start any seminaries, although Bible colleges are good and have its place. Have you noticed? He wrote no book. He left no organization. Why? Because he knew he would personally come to the Holy Spirit and give each one of us a personal experience with him, a personal touch. Because he's alive. He's here today. He's alive. And he wants us to know him personally. You may not necessarily have an actual vision of Jesus. He may reveal himself in 100 and 1,000 of ways. But one thing is needful. We must all know him and experience him in our lives. He must be more real to you than your husband or your wife. He must be more real to you than your close friends. He must be more real to you than any human being on this earth. Jesus must be real to you. And when you worship him and know him and spirit, he is real to you, and you notice him, you will experience the revelation of Jesus. No church, no Bible school, nothing in the world can replace your relationship with Jesus. And every doctrine, no matter how many bombastic words they use to teach doctrine, big words, sanctification, eschatology, and theology, and Christian archaeology, and all kinds of theologies, and most important thing. Have you noticed that every doctrine from God must lead back to God? A doctrine is an understanding of God put in clear forms in human language. And if the doctrine that you're studying does not lead back to Jesus, you can go to God. When you come face to face with Jesus, it's Jesus for nothing. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in our lives. And when Peter had that revelation of Jesus, Jesus gave him three areas. Three areas. Number one, Jesus pronounced a blessing on him. Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. The blessing of God will come to you if you have a revelation of Jesus." You know what the blessing of God will do? The blessing of God will make you prosperous in every area. You won't be in need, you won't be in financial need, because the blessing of God will meet your every need. The blessing of God will bring you to favor. The blessing of God will help you solve every problem. The blessing of God will come into your life. The blessing of God will prosper your spirit, soul, and body. Every area. If you want the blessing of God, get the revelation of Jesus Christ in your heart and life. For there's a blessing in that. The blessing, I repeat, is stronger than the curse. In the world, people are afraid of people cursing them, pronouncing charms on them, invoking magical potions on them. People are afraid of being cursed. I knew my mother was that way. She was so afraid our neighbors would call a curse on her. Well, we were all from Buddhist background. She was so afraid and you pray to this idol, this idol, this idol, just in case you leave one idol out. So at least, you know, you got all these there. But you know how many millions there are. You could buy a big house and fill it from the front porch to the back kitchen, and you still haven't got all the others there. There's still the one you miss out. And she's so afraid of all these charms, but the day she came to know the Lord, she was changed. Before that, when something happens to her, did somebody curse her? Did this happen? When some evil happens to her, was that a curse? But the day she met Jesus Christ and knew the blessing, the curse becomes powerless. Light is stronger than darkness. The blessing of the Lord is stronger than the curse of the devil. Do not be afraid of people casting charms or curse on you, because the blessing is stronger. And they may be just like Balak, Balaam and Balak. Balak wanted to cast a curse on the Israelites, and he called Balaam the prophet. And Balaam the prophet three times, he tried to curse them. But he said, "How can I curse those whom God has blessed?" Yes, the demons can try that on you. Oh, the magicians may do that to you. Try every trick of the trade they have. But if you have the blessing of God, the curse will not work on you. If you have the revelation of Jesus Christ, I don't spend my time, you know, trying to bind it. I do bind as the Holy Spirit leads. But I don't spend my time trying to go against all these things. All you have to do is spend your time relating to Jesus. You don't have to worry about demons along the pathway. As you walk and relate with Jesus. As some people, they walk in the kitchen and they got so much fear. As they walk along, they think a demon attacked them here, or this may happen here, and if I go near this temple, this will happen to me, and this will happen to me, and this will happen, all these things will happen to me. But it's all very simple. Walk with Jesus. And when you're related to Jesus, the blessing is there. And when Jesus' blessing is on you, as you're walking with the presence of Jesus, the angels will go ahead, and they may be calling the demons on the street, but the angels will go along the way and say, "Clear, clear, 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 clear. Child of God coming, clear, clear, demons." And then you just go, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." You don't have to spend your time fighting all of them. Jesus do the fighting for you as you worship Him. Relate to Him. Worship Him. The blessing of God comes on you. Hallelujah. The second thing that God Jesus Christ gave to Peter when he had a revelation of Jesus was that he said to Peter, "You are Petros, you are a rock, and upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church." Now some people say that that rock is Peter, but if you study the Greek, the first word rock, that you are a rock, you are Peter. Now some people say that that rock is Peter, but if you study the Greek, the first word rock, that you are a rock, you are Peter, Petros. And upon this rock, Petra, is a different Greek word in the sense of a different ending. One is feminine, one is masculine. So the rock is not referring to Peter if you read it in the Greek, it's very obvious. Otherwise you're making Peter feminine. How dare you, my friend? He is not. The rock represents the church, which sometimes is symbolized as a she. The word church is a symbol, is the area. I'll be my church. And that rock is a revelation of Jesus Christ that's founding the church. The church is built on revelation. And the part I want to emphasize is this. Jesus is building his church on the rock, the big rock that represents the whole revelation of God to man. He's building his church on the rock. And he said, "Peter, you are one of these rocks. You are one of the bricks that build the church. You are one of these rocks that build the church." Secondly, when you have a revelation of Jesus, you will have a position in the kingdom of God. You won't be looking everywhere wondering what God's purpose is in your life. You won't be looking to the left and to the right wondering what is God's purpose in your life. You don't have to keep going to evangelistic or revival meetings and go to the speaker and whoever's ministering and say, "God, prophesy on me. I need to know who I am. I don't know where my position is in the body of Christ. Come, prophesy over me." Sometimes people want to be directed by prophecy, but those come as the Spirit of God leads. Don't ask for them. They will come as God gives to them, to the speaker. They come as the Spirit of God leads. "Oh, come, prophesy on me." And then be led by prophecy. Prophecies only seek to confirm what God has already spoken unto us. One morning, there was many years back, there was a person who rang me up at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was asleep, so the phone rang, and I answered with the sleepiest voice. "Yeah." And the person said, "Are you awake?" I said, "Yes, of course." And then the person said, "Did the Lord say anything to you about me?" I said, "No, as far as I know, no, I was enjoying myself having a nap, having my sleep. I don't think I have anything from the Lord for you." And she said, "Did the Lord say a word? Just say something to you about me." I said, "No, sister, the Lord says something, I'll tell you. I'll ring you, you don't ring me." She said, "Did you have a word from the Lord?" At that time, I just replied and said to her, "No, I don't have the word from the Lord. But I'm just waiting for the person to ring me up again." Next time she ring me up, "Have you got a word from the Lord?" I said, "Yes. Yes. What is the word from the Lord?" "Thus saith the Lord." You must use King James English so it sounds nicer. Anyway, you can prophesy any language you want. "Thus saith the Lord." Read the Bible. I have a word for her now. Waiting for the person to ring me up again. See, people don't want to read the Bible to find out what God's will is in their life. Waiting for prophecies to come. Don't worry about them, they will come as the Spirit of God leads. The will of God must be determined and known by every believer. And unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you be like a sheep tossed to and fro, which don't know its position. You know, one of the most miserable things in the Christian life, you can have misery as a Christian if you do not know what God's purpose is for you.
And the reason many Christians do not know God's purpose in their life is because they don't seek God and seek Jesus and have a revelation of God to their own lives. There are not enough men and women seeking God today. But if you are really sincere, we will just go to Him, go to Him, go to Him and seek Him, fellowship with Him, draw unto Him. And when He reveals Himself to you, He will tell you exactly what He wants you to do. He will reveal His plans to you. And the most blessed thing that you can enjoy is to be in the part of the body of Christ that God wants you to be. Every one of you, God has a part and a purpose in His body. Every member of the body is important. But every member must find their place by the Spirit of God. And when you find that place in the body of Christ, you will be the happiest person in the world. There's nothing better than to be in the center of the will of God. There's no satisfaction that the world can give. There's no joy like the joy of being in the perfect will of God. It don't have to be anything that man put on you, but something that you discover in God. If there's no place in any body of Christ that has described the way that you should work in the body of Christ, then organize your own way by the revelation of Jesus. See, with revelation will come direction. Right? Each one of us will find a place in the body of Christ and sit in that path, and you'll be the happiest person in the world when you find a position in God. There's nothing like being in the perfect will of God. It don't necessarily have to be at a pulpit. It don't necessarily have to be in front that people can see. It can be any area. And sincerely, if you ask me, my greatest desire is to just be like one of the creatures around the throne of God. Have you ever read of those creatures? Four of them. Four of them. I remember there are four of them. And those creatures around the throne of God, my greatest desire is to be like one of them. Of course, I don't want to look with them with eyes all over here. I want to look the way God wants me to. But those funny looking creatures with eyes all over them. And they're just standing in the presence of God and just saying, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They're just doing that. Say, "Brother, you like to be that?" Yeah. I love to be in that kind of presence of God. And every opportunity, I would seek myself to quiet myself in that area. I don't know what Jesus wants me to do when we get into heaven, but when we get to heaven, one of my desires is to be as close as possible to the throne of God. Say, "Holy, holy, holy, oh," just worshiping Him. This is one of my great desires. I pray that God grant me there when I'm up there. Praise the Lord. So it don't necessarily have to be something that meant peace or anything. I told God sincerely in my life, "God, I'll do anything you want me to do, but I'll let you know my greatest desire is to be in your presence." Isn't that wonderful? And every one of us, no matter how small you think your work is or how big you think your work is, people in this world may give you fame. People in this world may publicize you or don't publicize you. Don't be moved by the jeers or the cheers of the world. But just walk as God wants you. Because sometimes all the crowds may go, and like Jesus, you're walking through the cross, and the resurrection will come afterwards. Notice that Jesus was not moved by crowds. I find that people are moved by crowds more than by the Spirit of God. We must not be distracted. Sometimes God wants you to walk alone. Like Philip, you are just preached in Acts 8. Wonderful evangelistic meeting. The whole Samaritan town was shaken. But the next moment, God sent him to one man. One man. One man. So we must be obedient to God all the time. All the time. And most of the healings of Jesus, watch it, took place in the street and in the house. Do you realize that? It's because Jesus was conscious. He was not trying to conscious of God only in a meeting. He was conscious of God 24 hours. And as a result of that, God could work through him in a home, in a house, etc. Who knows, when you all return today to learn to have a revelation of Jesus in your life, you have a conversation with Jesus, fellowshipping with Jesus, as you are there having supper, the Spirit of God come on you. And as you're eating your soup, you're prophesying. Prophesying to everybody. We must prepare that the gift of the Spirit will work anywhere, anytime, as the Spirit will. The reason it has not been happening is people don't expect it in those times. They deal what I call walls and boxes. That God works in this box and not in the other box, for the home box. But God is going to work anywhere. And when we have a revelation of Jesus in our heart and life, you will find your position in the body. Your position in the body. The third and final area. Jesus told Peter, I gave to you. Now, this is a personal you. He did not tell the other disciples, but he told Peter in Matthew 16, I gave to you the key of the kingdom of heaven. Thirdly, when you have a revelation of Jesus Christ, you have authority. Keys represent authority. Authority. The authority to function and move in the kingdom of God. And if you want the authority of Jesus to manifest strong in your life, get a revelation of Jesus. When you have just entered His presence and fellowship with Jesus, and you come out from your prayer closet, every word you say has authority. It carries an authority because it's filled with God's presence. And when you say to the demon, shut up, the demon, then you say, come out, your authority is. And when you say to the sick, rise and be healed, the authority of God goes forth. The reason why the authority of Jesus is not manifest is because people don't have a relationship with Jesus. When we have a relationship with Jesus and have a revelation of Jesus, you seek the authority, you move with authority, you know what you are doing, and you know what Jesus has told you. So you move with authority. We need more of the children of God to move in authority today. So that when you just come from the prayer closet, and there you come, you get into the car all the way, making it by 8 in your office. And at the end of the car, you're still worshipping, talking to Jesus. And remember, it's a dialogue, not a monologue. Many people's relationship with Jesus are monologue. Oh God, praise you, good morning, oh, everybody come over here, oh, bless you, praise you, good morning, God bless you, bye. And God was just about to say something to them, they just went out. Monologue. You continue that kind of relationship with Jesus, before long, you have many, many crushes, and you wonder why it happened. But when you hear that, when you fellowship with Jesus, He begins revealing Himself to you. He may speak by His voice, He may show you by a vision, He may speak by the inward witness, but He will definitely talk to you. And when God has talked to you, and as you get into the car, you're listening to God and all that God has told you, and God is saying today, when you go to the office, when you sit down, your office mate will come complaining of a pain on the left hand. I want you to go and lay your hands on them. Tell them that I'm alive and I'm here today. Then you say, yes Lord, yes Lord. And as you sit in the office, you're early waiting there, watching the car right there, praying in tongues. And here you come, you're just waiting for those words. Then you're just waiting upon God. God. And your mind is checking, is it God? Is it God? Just waiting patiently. And then you just start a conversation. You know, this morning I got this pain in my hand. Say, oh, praise God! Praise God! Why are you praising God? I got pain. How cruel. No. And he said, praise God! Your authority. Come, I'm going to pray for you and you will be healed. Now, where do you get the authority? From hearing God. Hearing God. Now let's ask 10, alright? Now, if I bring a great person right here, coughing, every time you raise the person from the dead, I ask you, do you think it's easy? No. Huh? No. Hard, right? Difficult. But supposing we bring the dead person here and the coffin is there, and you have prayed and God has told you and spoken to you and said there will be such and such a thing happen, somebody will bring a coffin to church, you might ask, how can that be?
Nobody will stand over the coffin and say, come on, it's you again. Jesus, and you know, you are very sure, 100% sure that God spoke to you.
Would you dare to do it? If you're very sure God spoke to you? Yes, that's right. What gives the authority? You hear from Jesus. You have a revelation of Jesus. That's why it's only the revelation of Jesus that produces the authority. If you haven't heard from God, don't play around with coughing. They may put you in one. You play around too much. Put you behind bars for playing around with dead bodies. But if you have heard from God, everybody else may be panicky around you, and I can tell you most of the time when Jesus ministered, the rest of them are panicky. I can imagine when he went to Lazarus' tomb, you know what the rest said? Oh no, Lord. He's been there 3 days. Jesus never, had that kind of support that he should have. But he knows because he heard from God. When you hear from God, then you go. In the name of Jesus, rise! But don't always expect crowds and miracles happen. You raise one person from the dead and a dead person raised up, you might have an empty church. Anybody go run off. But don't worry about that. After some time the news will get around. And then the people will come to Jesus in flocks and in multitudes. But notice, revelation produces authority. So the most important thing in our life is to receive revelation from God. We are not talking about revelation that is outside the Bible. Don't bother about those areas. Anything outside the Bible is not from God. God never contradicts himself. But we are talking about revelation that's in line with God. In line with God. We have to obey what the Spirit of God says and do. Whenever we meet together, whenever you have a house meeting in your place, whenever you go out visitation, hear from God. Hear from God. Get a revelation from God. He's alive. He's with you. He's witnessing together with you. Hear from God. And when you heard from God, you can go with authority. Go with authority. Oh, there's so many times when God has spoken certain things. And when God speaks, I just say what God speaks, and then the rest is up to God. You're not the healer, Jesus is the healer. But you're the instrument. So you just say what the Spirit says, and then you just bring it back to God and say, God, I obey you, do the rest. And he will do the rest. When we have done our part, a revelation of Jesus Christ will bring 3 areas into our life. It will bring a blessing. Because unless we are blessed, we cannot be a blessing. Some people don't realize why we should be blessed. Why we should have abundance is so that we can be a blessing. Unless we are blessed, we cannot be a blessing. And it seems that people say there are 2 areas in the body of Christ that people desire. One is to be blessed, the other to be a blessing. Number one is we receive a blessing when we have revelation of Jesus. Number two is that we receive our position in God. We know where we are in God. And we know what God wants us to do. Number three, you will receive an authority to function in that position. Let's pray. Father God, we pray for a revelation of Jesus Christ in each heart and life. We pray, O God, that you may quicken the hearts of each one of us to know the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives. To know, O God, the voice of Jesus when he speaks. Father, we pray that each one of us may develop such a earnest desire to have a revelation of you in our lives. That we may forsake all the things of this world. We may forsake sin. We may forsake the works of the flesh. We may forsake the pleasures of this life. That we may enter into your holiness. Enter into your loveliness. Enter into your presence. And draw revelation from you. Draw revelation from you. And Jesus, oh, your word says you love to manifest yourself. You love to manifest yourself to those who obey your word. Grant that as each one of us obeys you in drawing into your presence, that your revelation will flow strong in our heart and life. Idamazi idikava ozi rikalo boti ki fonde meriano romahadi sidiko bazande ki ibomande azi ziba avash irona urmo ande ba deke ba vakilya mo bazande meni 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 ratu nus yaso isyana ahiko onale medepo adiko bazande ki Handiriya handiyandi nekuna randiri ata hadas iliyandu bobo akande kovasi kikora tasiriya hunde monika kani zosana susana. Yet my spirit is drawing each one of you into my presence. For I have spoken in my word and shown, look, behold, the veil has been torn down. And my presence is freely available to all, far and near. And I have opened this way that all of my children may come in and feed. Come and feed. Come and draw from that which I have freely made available to you. And my spirit will draw you into the high places. Yes, I shall give you hind feet to set on high places, to dwell in the secret place of my shadow, and you will know the glory of my presence, and I will show you my love. I will reveal myself to you. I will reveal myself in visions. I will reveal myself in dreams. I will reveal myself in your heart. I will reveal my voice to you. I will speak unto you in a loud voice. I will speak unto you in a clear voice. I will speak unto you in a quiet voice. I will speak unto you in a still voice. I will speak to you, my people. Yes, then Jesus shall come forth from within you. Yes, and the glory of Jesus of Nazareth shall shine forth even from within your lives and in your heart. And all my people shall be able to say, glory, Hosanna. And they shall say, glory, Hosanna. For he is Lord and he reigns among his people. And there shall be some that come from the left, and some that shall come from the right, and the left, and the south, and the north, and the east, and the west. And they will draw unto your very home. Know that my angels have sent them before you. And he that has an ear, let him hear what my spirit says unto the church. And he who hears my spirit, I will walk together with him. And I will work my works of might. And my work of my spirit shall be mighty in your life. Yes, the dead shall hear, the dumb shall speak. My miracle shall go forth before you. And you will see the great power that I have reserved for my people that belong to me. And they shall say glory, and they shall say Hosanna, they shall say praise the Lord. My people shall all sing Hosanna, for he is King, and he is the highest of all, above all other gods. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 Now, not this, this is me speaking now, not the Lord. I exhort you to spend your time in prayer with God. What God speaks, he always fulfills. As he has spoken in his word there, he wants to show himself to us. So spend your time in quietness and praying, worshipping him. And watch his word come to pass in your life, where he will come to your very home. Come into your very prayer closet. and show himself to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you and thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. This song says, oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His fury and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Let Him have all the things that hold you, and His spirit, like a dove, will descend upon your life and make you whole. And the chorus goes, come, Jesus. He says, Jesus, come, Jesus, fill your land. Come, fill your land. Jesus, oh Jesus, come, fill your land. Thank you, Jesus. Let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Let Him have the things that hold you. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you. And the spirit like a dove,
spirit like a
dove, will descend upon your life and make you whole.
Upon your life and make you whole.
Oh, call Him now, call Him Jesus.
To you. But first of all, I want all the elders and the leaders to come forward, prepare your heart, and you will minister. If God has spoken, and you will be quite regular as the Spirit of God leads, you're not in any pattern. But God has anointed each one of you the last 2 weeks, and His anointing will continue flowing strong in you. I want each one of you to come forward and face the people and prepare your heart and life to be an instrument of God to minister His healing virtue, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the power of God under the people. And those of you who need ministering, who need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, come forward now, who need to be ministered unto. God has put an anointing on each one of these here.
There's a special anointing that rests upon them. And God has given unto them, and God is going to continue to minister in through their lives unto you. Remember Jesus ministering through them. You see the same power, see the same Jesus. The power is still be as strong flowing through them. All you have to do is look to Jesus and believe, because Jesus is the one ministering through them. Oh, let the sun come up.